and experience the charming and delightful Grace Plays Tea House and Boutique in downtown Reading. Enjoy a Pete's specialty tea or coffee along with a meal or delectable treat. Meet with friends, do business using free Wi-Fi, or enjoy the peaceful charm alone with a good book. Grace Place is the perfect place for special occasions. Located at 1448 Pine Street in Reading, all proceeds benefit Shining Care, a nonprofit serving local seniors. Visit graceplacetehouse.org for more information.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right. Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. We're back again, once again. Today is Sunday, March 8th, 2015, and my name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again. I'm here in the studio with my sister, who does all the heavy lifting. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Bob Martin, our trusted producer and soundboard operator and all-around great guy, and you can say that three times, I bet.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
All right, we're streaming worldwide. You want to go to the chat room, go to KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. Again, that is 530-605-4567. We need to get a little jingle with that, like 530-605-4567.
Okay, you've been watching too much Charter.
I hate that commercial.
I know, I do too.
But you remember, you know.
You do remember it because you hate it so much.
All of our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneville at Destiny Fellowship. They stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution, those radical extremists. What else?
Yes, and Paul Preston will be there on Monday.
Paul Preston
about
will be there
Agenda
on Monday.
21.
Yeah, there you have it. The non-existent Agenda 21 again.
Well, don't forget about the gun show.
I was just going to mention that, but you did.
Yes, this is the last day for the gun show down at the Holiday Inn on Hilltop. It will run from 9 to 4 today.
Well, get out there and buy a gun, buy some ammunition, talk to your neighbor, network, and yeah.
Come down and look at the gator that we are having a raffle on.
Yes.
It's a pretty cool little thing. I was
surprised. And support your local Veterans Museum. I mean,
yes,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a very big deal. And
you got some guys, got some people out there that put in long hours and work tirelessly. I mean, you got Patrick Jones over there and Rob Burrows. And,
yep.
And I mean, we talked a little bit about Jim Wilkins or Dick Wilkinson.
Hey, yeah, you can't ask for a nicer guy. I mean, when it comes to the community, he is so plugged in. He's always more than happy to grab something up and help you out. I'll tell you what.
Well, he's a great guy. What a guy. So that's our
yeah. We love you, Mr. Wilkinson.
Yep. That's our Citizen of the Day award.
Yeah.
So.
And don't forget about our fundraiser coming up on March 21st.
There you go. So March 21st at Wind River Casino, we're having a fundraiser with raffles and we're raffling off safes and guns and ATVs and
all kinds of nice stuff. And have a dessert auction.
You got desserts. You can buy, where else can you buy a cake for $80?
Yeah. and walk out the door with your gun and your cake. You know, yes. I mean, what more can you ask for? It's all American.
Yes. Soon to be at, you can buy a cake for $80. Soon to be at Safeway.
If you can get the cake.
If you can get the cake mix.
But yeah, come on down. The tickets are $35 for singles, $50 for a couple, and $400 for a table. If you buy a table, you get $300 worth of raffle tickets. So you only spend $100 and you can have dinner with 80 of your friends at the table too.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about today. We have a guest coming in, I believe, at quarter after. What's his name?
His name is Steve.
Kirschbaum.
I believe. Okay. I probably really messed that up. Bob's going to jump in here.
Let's hope he remembered the time change.
Oh, yeah, that could be an issue. Well, there's a lot of news to talk about. I mean, the first thing I got to do is slam the record flashlight. And, excuse me, I have a fraud in my throat. But, here's the headlines. I mean, here we got our local newspaper, and there's all this worldwide stuff going on. We got collapses going on in Europe and the banking system. And
the headline says?
Store by rescue mission faces beer permit denial.
All righty then.
The world's imploding, and that's their headline. Store by rescue mission faces beer permit denial. And then my next favorite one is racist message won't deter businessmen. Shasta Lake business owner Stephen Bell isn't going to let the racist message someone posted inside his laundromat intimidate him. Are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
What do you have to go around to the walls of the laundromats to find a story like this? I mean, you know, in the meantime, you know, I'm looking at headlines like new diesel truck filters linked to fires, explosions, but officials unbudged. You know,
that wouldn't be important, would it?
No. And that's from the Washington Examiner. And then, you know, Mark Levine confirms that Obama is secretly creating a nationalized police force. That's not news, is it? Oh, those are just right. They're just nuts. Nothing like that could happen in this country. He's not out of control. He's not issuing executive fiat orders that are taking and bypassing the Constitution and Congress and becoming a dictator. Is he?
No. No,
no, no. No, because
he's the most transparent administration we've ever had.
Just ask him. He'll tell you.
Yeah,
yes, we are.
He said it with a very truthful face, if you want to call that.
So, of course, if it's not in the wretched fleshlight, it can't be true, is it? And like O'Reilly says, you can't believe everything on the internet. You can't read, you know, what you believe, yeah, on the internet. Oh, but TV, you can believe everything on TV, right? I mean,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, all you got to do is ask
NBC,
Brian.
They wouldn't tell you anything else besides the truth.
Just ask Brian Williams.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's been involved in more conflicts than there actually is.
Well, you know, we've talked before. Remember, follow the money. And, you know.
Right. And then we got
where's the money come from?
Matt Drudge makes huge claim. Obama blackmailing Boehner to get his way. That's not news, is it? I mean, whether it's true or not is not even the issue. That's not news, right? Let's talk about somebody who pinned some racist remark inside a laundromat in Shasta Lake City. That's big. That's big. That's off the charts big.
Let's not give people anything about what's going on out there and have them make a decision whether they want to believe it or not. Let's do the laundromat.
Yeah, in the meantime, Alan Greenspan's talking about the stock market's getting ready to crash because it's overvalued. And, you know, there's problems with the stress tests and Americans are not in the labor force. Americans not in the labor force rise to record 98.9 million as participation rate declines. But of course, the unemployment rate is 5.5%.
Yeah,
and if you believe that, you know, I got a bridge and oceanfront property in Arizona, and you're a moron. Okay? Anybody?
Well, yeah, don't let those people standing out on the street corner, you know, increasing fool you at all.
Don't let common sense get in your way of that one, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, because, we're recovering. Look around you. It's recovery's everywhere. All the shops are closing. There's homeless everywhere. The other favorite line that I looked in the headline today that was great was from the record. Flashlight. Hold on, sorry. that crime has went down. Let's see.
Really? Okay.
As fear has risen, Redding's crime has dropped. Are you seriously? I mean, really? So that's why you have these big meetings where thousands of people showed up and everybody raised their hands. How many people have been ripped off here? Half the crowd, you know, and all these hands fly up.
And that's why nobody likes to go down to the river and walk along the trails or anything anymore, because all the homeless people, and they're scared to go down there, and their cars get broke into. And I'm just saying.
And then the next headline is, take precautions to avoid becoming a crime victim. What? you know,
they're just following the lead from our president.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, because they're transparent, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm saying.
It's like, wow, man, I'm really transparent, you know. yeah, that's it. Really? I mean, come on, guys. Anybody who's buying this stuff, you know, is just not, I mean, and there's all this other stuff going on, okay? Another headline, you know, FACTA is the most destructive law perhaps in history. Soft fascism, you know. And the United States began the hunt for Americans worldwide with the assumption that anyone doing business outside the United States must be doing it to hide money. They cannot grasp that there's a world out there where that people actually contemplate making money and becoming prosperous outside the United States. And, of course, they can't be doing it for any other reason than they're hiding money from the government.
It's not that they can't make money anywhere, you know, they have to go outside the country to make money. You can't make money in this country.
You know, the real deal is that if you know, the U.S. taxation on worldwide income violates human rights. If we talk about human rights, it rejects that Americans are free and can live where they choose. And if they do not use American services, they should still be paying for them, even though they don't live here. The right to tax based on birth is indistinguishable from slavery. Wow. Oh. Just saying. So, with that, I mean, maybe we should go to a break. And I think our guest is.
I think we have him on the line.
We'll come back and introduce our guest, and then we'll go from there. And our
all
quest
right,
for
if you
truth
call in,
the American way.
The American way. If you want to call in and listen to the American way, or have a question or comment for us, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
Network want to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Company, Northern Lights Energy. Hello, Frank Mews with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Saturday, March 21st at Wind River Casino. Join Sovereign Minds and Jefferson State of Mind radio programs for the third annual banquet and fundraiser. A night of fun and guns, friends, and family. Come and have dinner. Auction includes a John Deere Gator ATV, gun raffles, and many other prizes. Call 221-0101 to get your tickets. Seating is limited. 221-0101.
Don't label us left or right.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
We're back. Kind of feels that way a little bit sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Oh boy.
I think more people need to be knocking on that door.
There you have it. So we have with us our guest is Steve Kirschbaum. He's a campaign strategist, political analyst, educator, and a recovering political consultant.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that means. I'm sure he'll let us know.
It's kind of not. It's. I don't think it's like AAA or AAA. It's like not like AA. It's. I don't know. Anyway, are you there, Steve?
Here.
Good morning. How you
Good
doing?
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Steve, it seems like you've got a lot of stuff going on here. You know, you provide political strategies, campaign messaging, media strategies, consulting services, you know, on 60 local and statewide elections. And you've written over and produced over 400 radio and television commercials. So, you've been a pretty busy guy, I guess.
I have. But one thing I did do is I stepped away from it. You know, it finally dawned on me after 25 years that I can only handle one or two candidates at a time or one or two campaigns at a time. But but our movement needs a lot more people involved. And so to continue to consult, I couldn't teach. So I had to step away from the consulting so I can get more people involved and teach them what they needed to do to make changes that we really need made in this country.
Now, what you're saying then is that you're looking to find and vet candidates and educate them, or you're just, you know, going to, you know, focus on different candidates themselves? I mean, kind of explain
no, I
that.
I no longer work with candidates. What I do is I work with conservative advocacy organizations. Some are GOP, actually GOP county committees, and others are advocacy organizations that might be fighting high-density housing. I just work with a group that was fighting a sales tax increase in Alameda County, those types of things. Work with the group so more and more people learn what I know. So we get the word out and we do a better job as conservatives.
So what you're saying is, you know, to get the conservative movement, you know, going in the right direction, because I see we have a real problem on the horizon with our present trajectory with the administration, who, by the way, is the most transparent ever, according to him.
Yeah, I've been appreciating that transparency myself.
I think we all are.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. The movement needs some work. You know, while the opposition, while the Democrats are out using the university system to basically develop what they do to use on conservative campaigns and candidates to get their liberal policies across, our team's out there actually working for a living. So we tend to hang up our spurs between elections, go off and do what we do, and once the election is over, you know, or once the election season starts, then we get back into it. The problem is they're doing it full-time and we're doing it part-time. So if we can start doing it full-time ourselves, even as citizen campaigners, if you want to call it that, or citizens' movement, then we can start making some positive changes and start pushing our people to do the job they should be doing.
I think we need to stay away from community organizer as a label.
Yes, I know it's not a good label. However, if the left is using it and everybody's accepting it, why not usurp it and take it and use it for ourselves?
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you. I mean, they've been very effective with what they're doing. And like you say, we've been part-time activists. But I think a lot of people are starting to turn full-time activists because we're seeing our country slip away from us into a socialist, you know, communist direction. And it's going faster and farther than I think anybody ever thought that it would be able to in this short amount of time.
Absolutely correct. And it's really the biggest changes have happened in the last 10 years. And that's part of what I'm working on this. Messaging is what's got us from there to here. And we used to do a much better job than the left. In fact, Ronald Reagan's political strategist, his polling strategist, was a guy by the name of Richard Wirthlin. And Richard Wirthlin basically invented modern polling. And what he discovered when he was working for Ronald Reagan is that people connect emotionally to candidates, not logically. So when he was creating commercials like Morning in America, he was doing that to create an emotional connection. And we basically developed the method. We just didn't actively move forward with the method.
God, that sounds so against common sense, though, doesn't it? I mean, you know, shouldn't we all be thinking and studying our candidates and, you know, and as the organizers in the community, you know, being able to tell the truth and, you know, and it should be about, you know, policy and things like that as opposed to feelings?
Yes, but the problem is when you walk into a store, well, let me reframe that. When I walk into a department store, say Macy's with my wife, she's not looking there to make a rational decision. She's going to see something she likes, and if she likes it, she's going to take it home. Now, I do the same thing. Guys do the same thing. We just do that with equipment, you know. You know what car you want before you walk on the lot. So that's not a logical decision, or we'd all be driving mini cars, you know, or we'd be gas cars. You know, if you're driving a big, powerful automobile, that's because that's how you feel about, you know, the automobile, and that's something you want to drive. So I can appreciate us all thinking about it, but that's kind of insider information. That's people that are well plugged into what's going on. The problem is people that are plugged in, we're getting all them to show up. What we've got to do is connect emotionally with the ones that aren't showing up or the ones that maybe lean in our direction but need a little convincing. And that's what modern messaging is all about.
Well, you know, I can tell by what you're saying is that, of course, the politicians that get elected understand this. You know, our local elections, point out that that's true from the facts that these guys give you what you want to hear, and they go to your emotions and gonna be safe and everything's good, and then after they get in, a lot of times they forget all about that stuff and just do whatever they're gonna do. How do we you know, vet these guys or prevent that from happening, you know, so that we make sure we get good guys in there?
Well, I say vetting is only half the problem with the people that we put in, because we do put in people that tend to get kind of waffly once they're in office. Well, one of the things we're doing is explaining to people and showing people how they can influence those people once they're in office. See, the whole point is you don't take the heat off them. You know, yeah. if you know, let me give you a simple example. I just lost my train of thought.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, that a good example would be our Congressman Lamoff up here. You know, the local paper that we work with, the Shasta Lantern, had a big article, and it went onto the Tea Party website about him voting for the Cromney bus bill. And we got so much flack from the local Republicans on that. And we were just telling the truth, saying, hey, you can't, once the guy gets in office, you just don't look the other way. You've actually got to keep the pressure on him so he goes in the right direction. Not just, oh, gee, now we got the Republican guy in, and now he gets a pass on anything he does wrong. Isn't that kind of what you're saying?
Absolutely. What you have to do, okay, what you need to do and what people need to do is they need to look at who influences this person, who got him into office. We're not talking about votes. We're talking about people that influences policy decisions, the ones that weren't adverse to him making this, voting for Cromnibus. So what you want to be able to do is you want to go look and see who gave him money.
Right. How do you
find
that out?
Who was involved in his campaign? Who endorsed him? And you want to start leaning on those people because they're going to call him up and say, hey, I'm taking a lot of heat. I've got people out in front of my store with signs saying, don't shop here because we're not honest with the people. You know, and when you start putting pressure on the people that are helping decision makers make decisions, you'd be amazed at how people change their tune.
Well, how do you find out and target those people? I mean, because I would think that there would be a lot of donors. I mean, you just go after the big ones, the ones that are really supplying him with the money or the most influential. How do you figure out who to go after and put the pressure on?
Well, that can be done on a individual by individual basis, but either the city clerk, the county clerk, or the state of California keeps lists of who contributes to campaigns.
Oh, I see.
So you can look up those lists. That's public information. Anybody can look it up, and you go and find, and you obviously, if you're from an area, you're going to recognize names. So that's the first place you start. Who's giving them money? Then it's very easy to find out, okay, what do those people do for a living? Are they attorneys? Do they sell cars? Do they have a restaurant? Those types of things, and go down and talk to them and say, you supported so-and-so, and so-and-so is not doing their job. They're not doing what they said they were going to do. That's your fault. And you start putting the pressure on the people that endorsed them. Now, if you go to their websites, and if they're taking their website down, you go to an outfit online called archive.org, and you can actually look up their old website. It'll give you one or two pages of the campaign website, and a lot of times they put their endorsements there. It'll be a mayor from this city, a councilman from, this area, or town, or city leaders. And so you go talk to those people and start putting pressure on them. You'd be amazed. And go talk to the candidate. If you can pick up the phone and talk to them and hopefully get somebody's ear. Now, the key to talking to them, first of all, is you don't go in and get in their face. You go in and try to have a pleasant conversation with them and find out where they're coming. As we talk a little bit more about messaging, I'll talk about the techniques you can use to have those conversations. But the point is, you want to let those people know you're upset, and you want to let them know you're upset before the vote, not after the vote. So
right.
You have to. We're not going to get Cromnibus back, but the next time they're making noises about a vote, they might waffle on that doesn't track well with conservative values. You want to be able to get in front of that.
Well, the problem is that a lot of times they've been we've talked to them and suggested, gee, we don't want you to vote to raise the debt ceiling, for example, and they mm-hmm. they just do it anyway. I mean, they just ignore us, it seems like.
Well, then you're going to have, if there's an opportunity to recall, you can do that too. You'd be amazed. There's an old saying, gentleman's coming across Death Valley, and he's got his, he's got his mule train going there, and suddenly they stop dead in traffic, and he can't get anybody to. None of the mules are going to move. One sits down, and so he takes out his gun, and he shoots the mule, and takes him out of the harness, and the rest of them run off like it's time to go someplace. So sometimes you have to shoot the lead mule.
I think you got us by surprise on that one.
So what you want to do is if it's some states and some areas, you can actually recall candidates. Start a recall petition.
I think that might be a something that needs to happen here. We had one candidate who was not only hiding his donors, and he got caught doing it through this golf tournament, so that he wouldn't have to expose who they were. And he lied about, other programs that he said he was going to implement. He got in there, and he just went completely opposite of what he said he was going to do.
Sure. Well, and I think sometimes you need to do that. We rarely see a recall petition. I mean, if I could initiate one, I would. But that's generally has to be initiated locally. And depending on, I'm not sure if it's possible to do it in California. I think it's like 9 or 10 states that actually, at any level, you can do a recall.
I'll have to look into that. I mean, I guess, where would you find information on how to do a recall?
That's, again, state of California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Secretary of State's office has all sorts of information on that.
Okay. I just wanted to jump in here a little bit. We're just learning how to do all this stuff, Steve. We had a training from a gentleman, and we're discovering it and trying to get the word out there to people that our politicians need us. We don't need them. You know, people think, oh, I know him. You know, he'll do everything for me because I know him. Well, that's not true. Like you guys are talking, they'll say anything to get into office most of the time, and then they change to a different horse after they get in.
Right. I understand that. I've seen it, you know, and it's really infuriating. And I think, you know, what you're doing right now is critically important. The conservative movement has kind of lost a little bit of energy now. In 2010, we've got some people elected. In 2012 and 2014, we got people elected. But the enthusiasm that was there when we were all out on lawns talking about what we were going to do in 2009, that has waned a bit. But we have a significant opportunity between now and 2016 to change how people think. And one thing we need to do, I think, is let people know that if your vote matters, and your vote matters, and if candidates do not vote the way they say they're going to vote, if they do not, you know, step up and do what they say we're going to do when we elected them, it's time to find a way to remove them for office or snap them back in line. Only thing you can do.
What do you do about a guy like Boehner? I mean, this last thing, you know, he crossed the aisle completely to get this immigration thing and sided with the Democrats. I mean, I'm just reading a report where, you know, Matt Drudge says that Obama's blackmailing him. I mean, I think that's part of the problem of the letdown on the conservative side is we keep getting stabbed in the back up there on certain issues, and a lot of people are getting, disenchanted with a lot of this stuff. And I agree with you, we need to revive the movement and get more people involved, and that's the answer. But it sure is hard to take some of those things.
Well, I've already thought about what to do about Boehner. I would like to start a website and call it Bye Bye Boehner.
Good.
And start working on a campaign to get rid of him in 2016.
Well, that's what needs to happen. Good. I'll tell you what, that guy has turned coat at, I mean, you know, Benedict Arnold, could learn a few things from this guy. Anyway, we probably have to go to a break right now. And then we'll come back, Steve, and let's get into more of the nuts and bolts of the stuff that you're teaching here so we can, you know, maybe get on some specific stuff that you showed us.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
To honor our local World War II veterans, join Classic Cafe's Kathy and Millie on March 21st at 5 p.m. for their scrumptious spaghetti dinner. It's a fundraiser for Shasta County's Community Honor Flight. It'll be held at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Reading. The cost is $15. There's going to be lots of prizes, drawings, great food. Tickets can be bought at the Classic Cafe, 2427 Athens Avenue, or you can call 357-3380.
The degree to which we enjoy good health, vitality, and freedom from pain and suffering is directly related to the level of responsibility we're willing to assume for our bodies and our lives. Hi, I'm Nancy Sutton Pierce, host of The Conscious Living Show every Saturday, KCNR1460.com. My show is about helping you uncover your authentic self, discussing health, laughter, love, truth, sex, and so much more. We awaken to who we really are and why we're here, then life improves. Bon Jovi says, I'm going to live while I'm alive. Are you? Tune in every Saturday, 11 to noon, KCNR 1460, streaming live, KCNR1460.com. My website, ConsciousLivingYoga.com, will give you more information. The Conscious Living Show is proudly sponsored by Orchard Nutrition Center, Gorilla Bites, and Fields Jewelers.
National news with a local view, KCNR, 1460 AM.
There'll be days like this, when there's no one complaining. There'll be days like this, when everything falls into place, like the flick of a switch. Oh, my mama told me, there'll be days like this, when you don't need to worry. There'll be days like this, when no one's in a hurry. There'll be days like this, when all the parts of the puzzle start to look like they do. And I must remember, there'll be days like this.
I love that song. That's Van Morrison. Good stuff. Talking with Stephen Kirschbaum, and we're talking about, how to be effective in the upcoming elections, and, you know, what are the opportunities for the conservatives that are coming up, and what are the Democrats doing now to prepare? So maybe we can kind of talk about that a little bit before we go more into your thesis here.
Absolutely. Basically, one of the things that you have to think about as the election cycle has changed. It used to be you could, in January, February, jump into an election and run until the primary in June or July, depending on where you are, and then have a November general election. It doesn't work that way anymore. And so if anybody is thinking about running for office, if they need to think now about if they're going to do it or not. And there's several reasons. First of all, you need to get out in front of the public. You have an opportunity to do PR from now until October on issues that are important to you, and you get in front of multiple different groups. A lot of people, what they'll do is they'll start a not-for-profit, and their issue will be education, and they'll get in front of the Rotary Club or the Lions Club or the Elks Club or any club they can get in front of and talk about their issue. And the idea is, first of all, to introduce yourself to the public before you've actually committed to run for office publicly, and number two, to line out basically people who will endorse your effort, people that are support your effort, either volunteer or give you funding for your campaign. And then you can also take funds prior to the first of the year. So anybody that gives you money in 2015 can also give you money if you're running for office in 2016. So if somebody out there is thinking about doing it, they need to make that decision right now. And they need to see if it's a viable option for them, a viable opportunity for their community, and if they're going to do it, they should make a commitment to do it and get on the road to doing that.
Where are you located at, Steve?
I work in both the Bay Area and Southern California. I'm calling you for Burbank right now.
Oh, I see. Would you be interested in coming up to the Tea Party possibly and maybe having a training session? I don't know if you charge anything or how that
sure,
works.
Sure, I'd love it. I mean, it's just pay for gas.
All right. What a guy.
Oh. Yeah, we could probably arrange that since we're grassroots.
We will be talking about that. So
I've given multiple, maybe dozens of trainings all over the state, and I'd love to come up there. I haven't gotten quite that far north yet.
Well, this is where it starts getting good. This is God's country up here. Once you get past Sacramento, it's a whole different world.
Well, I liked when you were talking about guns on the radio. I'm from Alaska originally, so I'm all familiar with
Yeah, outdoors.
Up there, that's a way of life. Down, you know, you get to Southern California, and you would talk about a gun, and you're branded an extremist.
Yeah, I sold something like 29 of them when I left Alaska. I didn't think I'd be hunting down here for moose or bear.
Well, you never know with the zombie movement what could happen.
You know, we were trying to get him in the studio for today, but it just didn't work out that he would be up here in Northern California. So we were trying real hard.
Yeah, very
yeah,
good.
We were.
Well, listen.
It happens. We'll get you on the next time, but we can set that up. We'll talk later on about that.
Very good. Perfect. So why the focus on the middle class? I mean, you know, why, you know, what is the middle class agenda, you know, and how will that, you know, further the conservative movement?
Well, first of all, I guess the best place to start is the fact that the heart and soul of the country is the middle class. We're the keepers of American traditions. You know, regardless of party affiliation, let's set that aside for now, we're the ones that want Christmas, we're the ones that go to church, we're the ones that fight the wars. I mean, you know, we had some very smart people put together the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, but they weren't middle class. The middle class was out there with George Washington making sure the British left America. So if the left or the progressive left can basically downplay the middle class, if they can push us out of the picture, and they have an expression on the left, name it and frame it, you know, if they can frame us as a problem, or as, I guess I go back to when Johnson started the Great Society, you know, he was for black America. The problem is he created more problems for them than he solved. So with a middle class focus, we, the people, are in charge of what's going on, not elites, you know, and not the people that are taking, government help. So I think it's very important that we focus on that.
Well, the real deal is they don't really care about the middle class. What they care about is power, and they're just using, this is like Alinsky stuff, just to, they just give you what you want to hear so they get control. But
we have a caller on the line. Terry, are you with us?
Yeah, I am. Anyway, that'll be great, sir, if you could come to Reading and give us a training. It'd be wonderful. And thanks for calling in and what you do, too, sir.
My pleasure. I'm glad. I appreciate it.
I just got a quick thing I wanted to ask you about. I mean, we've been talking about We the People, and there's those of us in the Jefferson Movement, for example, up here where we have six counties that have already signed declarations of withdrawal that have been registered in the Secretary of State's office in down in Sacramento. And we have a lot of things going on, but it's true, we the people do run it, but they don't listen to us, and let me give you a quick example of that. Congressman LaMalfa, who is our congressman, calls in on a monthly basis to this radio station and gives an update. His comment was, well, you know, the problem we really have in Congress is the fact that people like Harry Reid do what they want to do, and the president does what he wants to do, even if it's going against the Constitution. However, we believe in playing by the rules. Now, if the conservative side and the Republican side wants to play by the rules, which is good, but the other team is cheating, and you don't call them on the fact that they're cheating, and you let them cheat, but you'll still play by the rules, how is that just not complying? Maybe you can give me an answer to that.
Well, I'm a strong believer in you never take a knife to a gunfight. If the left is cheating, you play by their rules.
Oh, there you go. I mean, so the real deal is that the gloves are coming off here on a lot of this stuff, and we have to fight fire with fire, you know, and use the tactics that they've been using on us against them. I think that's is that what we're saying?
That's what he's saying, yes.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
What about but the representatives
don't do that? With conservatives that, you know, I try to explain the fact that, well, they're not being honest with you, you know, and if they're not honest with you, you know, you can't appeal to them logically. You know, they have an agenda, and they're going to move the agenda forward regardless of whether it's right or wrong for the individuals involved. So what you have to do is, and that's a lot of what messaging is how you phrase things. You know, it's like we were talking, I mentioned community organizing earlier. So you change it slightly. You call it neighborhood organizing or civic organizing. You don't use their word unless you want to. But if they've spent thousands of dollars, maybe millions of dollars, getting a word or a phrase or something out there, they're stealing from us. I mean, according to them now, Martin Luther King was a Democrat. You know, and one of the things that totally amazed me is this march in Selma that just happened, the 50-year anniversary. The Republicans weren't there. Now, if you look back at history, the ones with the guns were the Democrats. They were the ones on the opposite side of the bridge, and the Republicans were coming across. But our team wasn't there to say, wait a minute, we did this. You know, and so we're not even there to accept the truth. So when they start throwing curveballs at you, like the president thought, you know, giving the impression, nobody said it, but they gave the impression that the Democrats were doing all this, and they did that for a reason. There's a lot of young people out there that don't know history. So that's, to build votes, you sometimes have to con the people. At least that's what the left does.
Well, and that's true, but my question is, if we have our representatives that we elect that are so-called representing the people, and their comments are, well, we're going to play by the rules no matter what they do. If they're cheating, they're cheating. We'll let them cheat. If we let them, then what's the solution to that? If the people we elect let them do what they want to do, and that's exactly what's happening, as you guys both talked about John Boehner, it's great to tell people, but what can we actually do? Because the government at this point is out of control in that regard. So what would be
what
your suggestion?
What you have to do is grow your power, get more people involved in what you're doing, and then you have to fact find. The best way to defeat lies is facts. And if they're not being honest about what's going on their side, you have to make it loud and clear that they're not being honest about it. I understand what you're saying, and we get a lot of purists that are doing that, but are these the same people that are telling you one thing before they're elected and then something else afterward?
Yes, sir.
The war that's going on right now in Congress is the establishment, which are looking forward to the election. And, you know, the Tea Party folks that are looking immediately at the immediate problem, they both need to be addressed. Now, I was a strong believer, and we could have fixed Cromnibus, but I don't know what's going on in the leadership's mind. And when Boehner sides up next to the Democrats, that's totally scary. So what we have to start doing is, if we can remove those people from office, or start A, B, influencing their friends, or C, you know, if they're telling us they're honest, let's hold them to that standard.
Yeah, we got to expose them, and that's what we've been doing. But we also have to be ready to take the heat when we're exposing them, because a lot of people just vote R and D, and you just got to, you know, let them have their bloviation and move on. I don't even listen to it anymore because it's not worth my time and effort, because they're stuck on, you know, whether they're Republican or Democrat. But I think you're right. You got to expose them, to expose the truth, and keep doing that. And putting the pressure on them is what has to happen, not letting them have a pass.
Right. Conservatives are instinctively go on defense. And what you need to do, and we can talk about that, and if I come up there and actually hold a seminar or workshop, it's called pivot statements. You basically pivot from what they're trying to say to what you need to say. And you can handle conversations like that. And what we need to do is we need to be more aggressive instead of, you know, attacking, allowing them to attack us. We need to jump out ahead of them. You know, when I was handling political campaigns, you have three options when somebody says something. You can attack, you can neutralize, or you can defend. Attack means you go after the message. Neutralize means you preempt the message. If there may possibly be a problem, you handle that before it comes up. And then defense, of course, everybody knows what that is. You just fight for your life. So it's the best to do the first two first and not to defend if you can. So if they're not being honest, or if they're quote-unquote overly honest, you want to hold them to their own standard, because that's what the left does. The left will say, well, you said this, but you're not doing that. And we sometimes have to use their techniques to keep our people in line.
Well, I'll tell you what, it seems like there's a lot of stuff to this, and you know, we're getting to the point where that, you know, we're just going to have to not comply, period, in my opinion, across the board at some point, by just saying, hey, we're not doing it. You know, whether it's the Second Amendment issue, or whether it's CARB, or whether it's immigration, you know, we're just not going to put up with it. And I guess we become lawbreakers, but the reality is they're the lawbreakers and we're defending our Constitution.
Right. And I think I don't really think that we're lawbreakers, and we just have to call people out. You know, I don't accept this, well, we're going to do the right thing for the right reason if it's political, because that's politics is the art of getting things done. It's not doing the right thing for the right reason.
Interesting. Yeah, it's almost, this whole thing is very distasteful to an honest person, I guess, is part of the problem, because we just get tired of being lied to, and we get tired of these politicians telling us one thing and doing another. You know, they say they're fiscal conservative, and then they vote for a Cromnibus bill that, you know, gives the, you know, circumvents the Dodd-Frank and, you know, is written by Citigroup inside the passage, you know, and it's insane.
I have a question in the chat room. And Sally says, let me, is starting a second party going on the offensive?
I think it would be we've almost got that going on right now. We've got the infighting in the GOP. And I think if we start another party, that would be fatal to the conservative movement. Right now, we've got a lot of libertarians moving into the conservative party or to the GOP, which tends to push them to the left as far as social issues are concerned. And what people don't realize, and this goes back to, you know, mom again, but, you know, we were not supposed to talk about politics or religion. Well, the problem is if conservatives don't talk about social issues, we're giving that to the left. You know, the church has a lot to do with values. And if we don't talk about the church, we're not talking about American values. If we don't talk about politics, we're not talking about policy. And if we don't talk about, you know, traditional American values, we're giving the left basically the social structure in the United States, and that's more dangerous right now than just about anything we can do. And we need to start taking that back one issue at a time.
Well, I've got a question about what Mark just said, which I think makes a lot of sense, and that is that we've asked literally thousands of people we've talked to in town halls about the simple fact, can you name one thing that the government doesn't control, from the makeup your wife uses, the toys your kids or grandkids play with, the food that you eat, the clothes that you wear, the light bulb that you use? The only thing they can't control is the mind at this point. Everything else is being controlled, and now we have CARB, which they control the air.
Right.
And again, we keep letting them, and the people that we elect keep letting them. So I guess the real deal is most people are saying, well, where do we draw the line here? And if not another party, then what? Because it doesn't matter. It seems like it doesn't matter really what we do, that the people we have in leadership will not do what they say they're going to do, and the people we have in leadership aren't letting the other side do what they want. They let them. So the real deal is what? At what point do we get to where – And how far do we take the gloves off in calling the people out that are doing the things that are not complying, basically, with what the people want that are the constituents? Where do we go with that?
What we have to do is change the leadership. Now, anybody in California can get involved in any election in the United States. You can send a dollar to the people running against Boehner in next election. If you can't be there holding up a sign or hanging something on a door, you can send dollars. Or you can get involved online to support a candidate that you like. And so I don't accept the fact that we're defeated, that we can't fix this problem. I just think that we need to start working together. And we're going to have to make some compromises, because I may be more conservative than a lot of people, but I'm willing to take a glass half full approach than get nothing, because right now our glass is reasonably empty, especially in the state of California. And so I'd rather stick a rhino in for a semester and know what I can count on than not to have a Republican in a seat. So,
sort of the devil you know as opposed to the devil you don't know.
Absolutely, because once I get him in office, I'm going to beat on him every day to make sure he does his job and he does the proper job. If you don't know him and if you haven't supported him, you're going to call him up. And that's really, you know, you talk about people that contribute to campaigns and people that endorse campaigns, and you know, all they're buying is access to the candidate. They're not buying, they should not be buying favors. So if you donate X number of dollars to a candidate, he gets elected or she gets elected, you should have access to that person. You have to remind them, well, I was a contributor, you know, I have something to say, I want you to listen to me. You'd be amazed how that pops them into place. But if you're just out there shaking the cage, you know, they don't know who you are. They just, you know, they don't know that you had an effect on their campaign. They don't know that you were actively involved.
Hang with us, Steve. This is the top of the hour, and we're going to get cut off. But hang with us, and we'll pick you up on the other side of the hard break.
Sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
Hour number two of Sovereign Minds is coming your way next here on KCNR Shasta Redding. It's 10 o'clock.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A Democratic colleague from Hillary Rodham Clinton's Senate days says the former Secretary of State has to fully explain her actions involving the use of a private non-government email account while she was the country's top diplomat. California Senator Dianne Feinstein.
She is the leading candidate, whether it be Republican or Democrat, for the next president, to be the next president. And I think that she needs to step up and come out and state exactly what the situation is.
She was a guest on NBC TV's Meet the Press program. Clinton says she's turned over all relevant emails, 55,000 pages, to the Senate the State Department rather, for review. Critics say it's impossible to know if that's true. Church services, film screenings, and a rally today following a march yesterday across the Edmund Pettit Bridge in Selma, Alabama, in continuation of the Bloody Sunday 50th anniversary commemoration. Police beat and tear-gassed marchers at the foot of the bridge in 1965. That attack and a march to Montgomery 2 weeks later helped get the Voting Rights Act passed later that year. A government watchdog is warning that cybersecurity weaknesses could lead to disruptions and undermine the safety of the nation's air traffic control system.
The Government Accountability Office's the Federal Aviation Administration has taken steps to protect the air traffic system from cyber-based threats. The office points out, however, that, quote, significant security control weaknesses remain. One area of weakness is the ability to prevent and spot unauthorized access to the vast network of computer and communication systems the FAA uses to process and track flights around the world.
SRN's Jeremy House. Amid increasing Middle East tensions over Iran's nuclear ambitions, Saudi Arabia has passed India to become the world's biggest arms importer. Saudi spending last year rose 54% to $6.5 billion. This is SRN News.
Hi, I'm eHarmony.com founder Dr. Neil Clark Warren. From the very beginning, eHarmony has helped Christians find their perfect soulmate, and I'm so proud to share with you that 950,000 marriages have started on eHarmony.com. Most of those marriages are between two dedicated Christian persons. After years away, I'm back as CEO of eHarmony.com, and I am deeply committed to the importance of maintaining a strong allegiance to everything Christian marriage stands for. Who you marry will have more impact on your happiness than almost any other decision you make. We promise to do everything in our power to help you succeed. Make sure you trust this sacred task to a company that accounts for 438 married members every day. Go to eHarmony.com and get started today for free.
China's imports sank again in February in a new sign of weakness in the world's second-largest economy. Customs data today shows imports shrank 20.5% compared with a year earlier. Combined with January's 19.9% decline, that brought the contraction in imports so far this year to 20.2%. China's appetite for imports has ebbed as economic growth has declined, hitting a two-decade low of 7.4% last year. Nigeria's homegrown Boko Haram terrorist group has pledged formal allegiance to ISIS today in a message allegedly by the Nigerian insurgent leader, posted on Twitter and reported by the SITE Intelligence Monitoring Service. The unverified pledge comes as the Nigerian terrorist group reportedly is massing in a northeastern town for a showdown with multinational forces that has dislodged them from a score of towns in recent weeks. They killed apparently 54 people today in four bombings. This is SRN News. British broadcasters say they'll go ahead with a series of televised election debates, even though Prime Minister David Cameron will only show up once.
The Prime Minister has agreed to take part in one, held before the start of the official campaign and involving seven party leaders. The broadcasters have scheduled three, two with all parties, and one head-to-head between the two men who can realistically be the next Prime Minister. They say Cameron will be replaced with an empty chair, leaving the awkward prospect of opposition leader Ed Miliband debating against himself. Elena Casas, SRN News, London.
Not many ex-presidents make it to 90. Jimmy Carter has, and he wants to talk about it. He has a new book coming out in July, A Full Life, Reflections at 90. Carter is a Nobel Peace Prize laureate who turned 90 last year, left office in 1981, has had the longest post-presidential life in U.S. history. This is SRN News.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Welcome back. Sovereign Minds. We're in the second hour now, and we're talking about how to affect our candidates and get control of these guys.
How to be effective out there with them
absolutely.
On our side.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Terry in the chat room had one more comment or question. He says it costs millions of dollars to run for office, especially in California. How are we supposed to be able to affect a race if we don't have any money? You know, for example, the Tea Party, you know, we've had a little problem called Lois Lerner in the emails as far as money. You know, it's been an issue, but is there an answer to that, Steve? How do we affect the maximize our effectiveness?
The most valuable thing you can do in a campaign is door-to-door.
I see.
It'll beat the socks off of any kind of money spending. One of the things people don't think about when they spend money is that you've got TiVo now, you've got people online more often than not. There's a lot of different ways to get your information, but you only live in one place. And if you can identify who your vote is, that means looking at the voter rolls, finding out who will or won't vote for you.
Target that
3%. And go out
3%.
And knock on those doors once you've targeted those people, as you mentioned.
Right.
You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. I've seen it jump as much as 17-18% in a district just because the neighbors got out and said, hey, I'm voting for this guy. I believe in him. You know, can you come on down and vote for him too?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's targeting that 3.5% that changes the dynamics, I guess is what you're saying as well.
Absolutely. That's why I'm one of the things I'm trying to do with middle class agenda is it goes back to the one vote, just change one mind. And that's if everybody in Reading changed one mind, everybody that was conservative changed one mind about being, you know, conservative individuals. I mean, just say, look, you know, I mean, think about who conservatives are. We're the people that come over and help you out when you're having a problem. We're the people that always show up. You know, I worked in technology for a number of years after I got out of political consulting, and I found out that even in Silicon Valley, the lefties wanted to know who the conservatives were in case there was a problem because they needed to know who they could rely on.
That's funny.
We have a lot going for us. We just have to get it out there in front of the public, and
we have
and
to be
have
engaged.
Them work with us. So if you want to affect an election, best thing you can do is volunteer for somebody's campaign and hit a door.
Well, there you go. That's what we did that this last year, and we're starting to understand how the game is
played.
Yeah,
and I think this last year we learned a lot because we didn't get engaged as early as we needed to be engaged, I don't think, with the door knocking and being out there with boots on the ground, so to speak.
Right.
But we've got it.
We're learning.
Well, and we've sort of got our troops now established and who we can depend on and who will go out and help us go after the candidates.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised, like you say in your community, how many people really will go out there and do it. We had the other candidate said, was asking our candidate, what would you pay him or what? Because we were all over the streets.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and it was all volunteer, of course.
That kind of brings us into, let's talk about the hero narrative.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, I do. Victims, I'm always like, you know, heroes are good, you know, and we're always looking for them. So we got a hero checklist and heroes of financial reform. Who is a hero and what are their values?
Okay. A lot of times, it's basically a three-parter. You have a villain, you have a victim, and you have a hero. And once I start talking about this stuff, people go, wow, that happens all the time. But when they talk about, for example, the war on women, women are the victim, right?
Correct.
Well, who's doing the war on women? It's those conservatives. They're the villain. And who's going to save the women? It's the Democrats. They're the heroes. So what a lot of times when you're talking about issues, and especially what are called wedge issues. Now, what wedge issues do is they throw you off your game. You know, they'll toss in a basically a curveball just to see if they can get you off your talking points or get you off something else, you know. It's the have you stopped beating your wife question politically framed.
Right.
But because
there's
the
no
only
good
way to answer it is not to answer it.
Right. Right.
And so what you do with the, you want to find out who the hero is and what their values are when you're setting one of these up. So if the hero is conservative, we know their value. They're very family-oriented, let's say. And their quest is to protect their family is to protect families. And let me give you an example of two, you know, the heroes of financial reform. I'll just read you these are actual statements that were in the New York Times. There's two of them. The first one's basically pro our team. It says, according to the New York Times report, at the time of the initial Senate passage of the Dodd-Frank bill, here's the Republicans' view of financial reform. The Republicans criticized the bill in mostly political terms, arguing that it was an example of Democrats trying to expand the scope of government. So, who was the villain? It was the Democrats trying to expand the scope of government. What was the villainous act? Trying to grow government, though it was implied, not specified. The victims, of course, were the taxpayers, and the Republicans were the heroes. So because they were standing up to the Democrat for nefarious acts. Now, what's kind of fun is just creating these things, and what I do in the seminars, and if you give people my email address and they want to get involved early, because I'm actually building a website to be able to address all this and make it available to anybody that wants to use it, is we can start doing some of these things on different issues. So if you want to go up and actually quiz a candidate, it could be the opposition, you can throw a hero narrative at them just to see what their reaction is, which is kind of fun. Now, let me read you another one from the opposite side. This is from the same New York Times article. And the recession we're emerging from was primarily caused by a lack of responsibility and accountability from Wall Street to Washington, Mr. Obama said, adding, that's why I made passage of Wall Street reform one of my top priorities as president, so that a crisis like this does not happen again. So from his response in the Times, the villain was basically Wall Street. The villainous act was lack of accountability and responsibility. The victim was basically anybody, and who was the hero? Of course, our president. So the heroic act was basically Wall Street reform. So that's in kind of a nutshell how it's used.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, it's so distasteful because it's so dishonest. I mean, you know, I mean, that right there in a nutshell, I do finances for a living, and you just go, holy crap, you know. Here's a guy telling everybody that this is the reason they created this financial reform, when the real deal is that, you know, he doesn't care about financial reform. He cares about, you know, they bailed out the big banks. They did everything to help the big banks, but he's coming across like, you know, they did something to stem the tide, and they did nothing.
Right, but see, you're an insider, and a lot of what I teach is you have to set that aside. You know too much.
Oh, that must be it.
Because this is not geared to you, because he's not going to get your vote anyway. It's geared to the person that's doing something else with their life and, oh, wait a minute, there's a general election coming, or there's a primary election coming, or there's an election for city council coming.
So they're targeting that. I mean, that's a targeting of low information voters, is what you're saying.
That's where the votes are, because if you actually look how votes are, it's almost even. If you look at the progressive left, it's about 20%, 18 to 22%. If you look at the conservative right, it's about 21 to 22%. So the battle's in the middle. It's for the 60%, and some of them lean to the left, some of them lean to the right. But the gray area right in the center, the low information voter, is the one that carries the day. And so that's how your focus has to be. That's who your message has to be to. I'm already with you. We spend too much time singing to the choir instead of starting new bands.
I see.
We have to start new bands and encourage people to join the band. That this is important to you because you have children in school. They might not be interested in anything else. They might not care about the financial institutions. They may not know that you're a genius in financial planning. But what they do know is the school their kids are going to are lousy, and they want them to have a better education. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking for those people, and we're going to tailor our middle-class message to them. So when you're talking about education, I'm going to kind of jump to that, what's called issue framing. And what the master issue is, we are the middle class. Is it fair to us? That's the master frame for everything I'm trying to do and I'm encouraging people to do. Under that master frame, you have individual areas to frame issues. For example, family is an area to frame issues. Small business is an area to frame issues. So if you just take those two areas, another one would be jobs, another one would be security. So if you want to talk about immigration, make it a family issue or make it a jobs issue. If you want to talk about education, don't if you go to a candidate's website, you see this thing up on their navigation that says issues, and you go down it and they check off each issue, and it's a standalone issue. It's my position on education. Well, if it's a standalone issue, it can be fought as a standalone issue. But if it's wrapped in the family, it's important to me that my family gets a quality education, my kids get a quality education, and they can do what they want to do in this lifetime because of that education. It's no longer just an educational issue, it's a family issue. Immigration the same way. How does it affect my family? Is it a security issue? Is it a jobs issue? Have I not been able to get a job because they're bringing in lower cost labor? So by framing these things under the umbrella of, is it fair to us? We're the middle class. And then taking specific issues and putting them in subframes, that's how you get your message out to people so that they understand it.
That's what one city council person did here. It was safety.
Mm-hmm.
It was safety and family. That's what he totally ran on, and he's one that changed.
Right, and then he completely didn't
do it.
He didn't do
any of it after he got into office.
Yeah, he said he had a big plan, and it was all about safety and crime and all this stuff. But when he got there, he didn't even have a plan after he got elected.
Yeah. Okay, so you get 30 people out in front of the next assembly meeting with signs that say so-and-so is a dirtbag, and see what his response is.
Well,
so-and-so lies. You got to get their attention. It's that mule that won't pull the wagon.
Yeah, I think that gives us some ideas on a couple of
these exactly,
guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because you see, we tend to say, the problem is it goes back to our parents. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
Right.
If they don't do anything nice, be very loud about it.
Well, but you have to attack the issue, not necessarily attack them personally. Like you say that, you got to call them to account. You can't just let it go once it happens.
Absolutely. But if so-and-so lied, you can say that.
Right. And we have a guy here on the Board of Supervisors that was involved in the State of Jefferson presentation, and he told all the guys on the State of Jefferson that he was for it, and he out and out lied. As soon as they got up there, he voted against it. And,
right.
You know, and stuff like that. And we've been pounding him ever since, you know, not to mention any names, Les Paul. But, you know, that's what we're running into. These guys are just corrupt, and they'll say one thing and do another. But I like your suggestion about showing up in front of the Board of Supervisors with signs. Les is a liar.
Yeah, I mean, Les has got to come out and address that because it's going to be in the paper. And he doesn't want everybody in town thinking, because he didn't address it, that Les is a liar. So you'll get some reaction out of him.
That goes back to applying the heat.
Right.
Keep
absolutely,
the heat turned
absolutely,
up.
Yeah. You can't. It's like when you hire an employee. You don't turn them loose and say, you know, I'll pay you at the end of the week. Do something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
there are employees, and we tend to forget that, and they tend to forget that.
Yeah, and a lot of people like, oh, I don't want to, you know, make too big of a wave. You know, what will people think of me, or you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
okay,
like, well, it's time to, you know, stand up.
You guys need to be the tsunami up there.
Well, we're working on it.
Yeah,
we're working on it.
So anyway, you've got to push back. I mean, because the fact of the matter is, again, the guy was elected. Everybody went home and said he'll do the right thing because we elected him. Assume he won't. Assume he's just a mouthpiece. You know, he's what they call a sock puppet.
Yeah,
and
an
empty
suit.
He just wants to get elected because it feels good. Now you're gonna stay. You're gonna have to train him to do his job. Explain to him what his job is and how he needs to do it to get your votes again.
Okay, very good.
Okay. And I think with that, we're going to go to a break. If you have a question or a comment, the number to call in at is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
Saturday, March 21st at Wind River Casino. Join Sovereign Minds and Jefferson State of Mind radio programs for the third annual banquet and fundraiser. A night of fun and guns, friends, and family. Come and have dinner. Auction includes a John Deere Gator ATV, gun raffles, and many other prizes. Call 221-0101 to get your tickets. Seating is limited. 221-0101.
Don't label us left or right.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
This is awesome, Uncle Vince.
Are you ready to make your first Mary's delivery?
Yeah, what are we delivering?
You can order anything off Mary's menu for delivery. So we have spaghetti with meatballs, tortellini, bruschetta, chicken parmigiana, gnocchi.
Shh, eyes on the road. Hands at 10 and 2.
10 and 2?
Test the horn.
I'm not going to test the horn.
Horn check.
Thanks for testing the horn. It works.
How's the engine temperature?
It's fine.
Maybe I should check on the meatballs in case they're rolling around back there.
No.
This is a pretty nice car. This isn't your car, is it?
Yeah, this is my car.
Really? Huh. Wow, wouldn't have guessed that.
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome the Colt 45's general manager, Rick Bassetti. Let's find out what the Colt 45's are going to do this season and all the changes down at Tiger Field. And are the Colt 45's going to take over the running of South Park? All of this on Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
You train! Yeah! Yeah! You train! Liberty clapping over heel and clean. Is how they'll never stop. Clippity clap, clippity clap, clippity 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 clap, and all.
Shoot. I was gonna say, shoot the mule.
Shoot that lead mule. Yeah, yeah.
Make those other mules pull faster.
Clippity clap, clippity clap.
When I say whoa, I mean whoa. Oh boy, that's Bob Martin over there having a little fun.
We have to have a little fun once in a while. We've got so much going on and so much seriousness that's happening that it wears on you after a bit.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk about the pivot. Okay, let's talk about the pivot as using a conversation to refocus thinking. You see the left do this all the time. You know, you ask them a question and they never even.
Well, I don't know about that. That's part of the question.
Yeah. I mean, they never answer the question. They just go on talking about whatever they want to. They don't even acknowledge it.
Yeah. There's a couple of techniques they use. First of all, our president loves the filibuster. He only gets like two questions in, you know, in a press briefing because he talks incessantly.
About nothing.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point of the filibuster. And a lot of them on their side will use a pivot because you'll ask them a direct question they don't want to answer. And so a pivot is like verbal jujitsu. You get them, they'll start with what they want to say, and what you want to do is take them to where you want to go. And our side needs to use it because that's the best way we can start conversations with people that may not agree with us initially, but it will come around if we phrase it properly. So that's kind of how you use the pivot statement. Now, one of the things that's really difficult for our team to do is to say yes to the first thing out of their mouth, to agree with them. Because it could be, you know, it could be the moon is made of green cheese, and you know that's not correct. But you want to start with a positive affirmation, so it's a friendly conversation. So if somebody were to say the moon was made of green cheese, I'd say, you know, when I was younger, I thought that too. And then I would run to a pivot statement like, but the real point is, and then you basically get on your talking points.
Yeah, see, I have a problem with that, Steve, because the first thing out of my mouth is, you're an idiot, dude.
I know, so you're going to have a problem relating to people. But you probably had that problem for a long time.
It's true, I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, we've got to get past that. And that's what I'm worried. You know, think of me like Johnny Appleseed. We're going to plant a few apples, and hopefully we'll grow a few trees. But the point is that we can't. Again, it goes back to we're too well informed because what, you know, people tend to think that conservatives aren't informed, you know, that the left does. But the fact of the matter is the left gets their information off the internet. They don't, you know, a lot of them don't do first-hand research on a subject. They don't chase something down when it starts making sense to them. So the first thing out of their mouth more than likely is not something they actually learned, but something somebody told them. And if you react negatively to that, you have no place to talk. Now, you're going to run into people that, you know, you couldn't convince them no matter what. They're basically, you know, they're left wing. But you're going to run into people that possibly, and again, going back to, you want to talk about issues you have in common, things you have in common, so start talking about your kids. Or start talking about, you know, what's going on overseas, security, you know, and feel them out before you dive into something. Because what you're looking for initially is agreement on something. So, you know, the idea is you're trying to build a bond with these people and get them to start thinking along the lines you're thinking. And you can't force feed them, you know, 25 years of conservative thought in a five-minute conversation. That just won't happen.
Yeah, it's like the old thing is you can't lead a horse to water and make him drink, but you can throw salt in his oats and make him thirsty, and hopefully he'll do it on his own, I guess is what you're saying.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
I don't know. I guess I got to really work on this because I just have a – it's hard to have tolerance. You know, it's like Ronald Reagan said it best. You know, liberals know a lot of things about stuff that aren't true.
Right.
And that's really what we're talking about here. You know, they have formulated ideas and thought patterns based on faulty data, you know, and that's the biggest problem. You're dealing with somebody who's made up their mind, you know, global warming is caused by man. Well, there's really not that much proof of that, and it is a debatable argument, but if otherwise, if you disagree with that, you're a denier. Well,
right.
You know, that's insane. I mean, no, what it is that you're so far down the tube that you forgot to look at any facts to
you have
formulate.
No logic.
Yeah,
there's no logic
your
behind that.
No logic. How do you deal with a guy like that?
Separate out the statement from the people. You're not going to start with global warming. Go back to the four issues: family, education, or family, jobs, small business, or security. If you go directly into global warming, you're screwed.
Right,
but if you can couch that in, well, my concern is how it affects my family, because even though they haven't proven there is global warming, you know, and the fact of the matter is we've had nothing but cold weather for the last 20 years, it affects what I have to pay in XYZ taxes. You know, it becomes a tax issue, not an ecological issue, not an environmental issue. Now, if they would get back to the environmental issues, I can agree with those.
Right.
See where I'm going with this?
Sure.
The idea is to couch it in terms that aren't adversarial.
Yeah. I agree that, you know, we should all have clean air and so forth, but I'm not sure that I agree with raising my taxes to ineffectively
do that.
Well,
I'm not saying, no, that's, I didn't imply that. What I was saying is that's the downfall of the global warming is, their only solution is to raise my taxes to pay somebody to try to figure out if we're actually having global warming.
Right.
So that could be how you relate back to them. But if you start with, you know, I agree with you on the environment, you know. I've been, you know, I live up here in Northern California. I love the outdoors. I'm one of the staunchest, you know, supporters of the environment. In fact, if you look at Ducks Unlimited, they're the biggest, you know, they spend more money on keeping wildlife refuges going than any other organization, bar none, more than all the environmental organizations put together. But I have a problem when they want to raise my taxes to pay for something they haven't proven yet.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you don't love ducks, do you, because you shoot them. And
oh, yeah, I love ducks. Daffy Duck's one of my favorites.
Well, we have a caller on the
line.
Yeah,
we have Billy Bob from Palisadro. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hello.
Good morning, Billy. How you doing today?
Hey, good, good. Quick comment for the show. I just want to thank you and your guests for what a fabulous conversation you guys are having. It's absolutely enlightening to find such great information. And I want to go back to Terry's previous call about Doug LaMalfa. And my comment, I heard that same interview. And he is absolutely just taking the Kool-Aid. He is sitting back in his leather chair, taking his $250,000 a year, and, oh, he can't do anything because he's in the minority. And it's just a joke.
Well, wait a minute. He's actually in the majority now.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, but no,
yeah,
we can't do anything. We can't fight the president because we're just dumb conservative Republicans. But, no, I appreciate your guest and your show always, and I listen to you regularly. And, again, it's just Doug LaMalfa is a smock. He's fallen in. He's drank the Kool-Aid, and He's just looking for a long-term retirement fund, and I'm discouraged with him. And then that boils down to everybody else, just like you guys have been talking. Once they get into office, they're worthless.
Well, you got the establishment Republicans now saying, see, he voted against the immigration bill. But what they don't see a lot of times or don't want to see is the fact that he voted for it before he voted against it. You know, it's like, really? Well,
so. Yeah, no, and again, it's just, and he can get away with it because he can just claim, oh, I didn't have a chance in hell to get, you know, there's no snowball chance in hell. So anyway, I'll let you guys go. Thank your guest.
All right, thanks, Billy. Thanks for calling in.
I feel a protest coming on and some signs that say he voted before, you know, he voted against it, or he voted for it before he voted against it. You know, Kerry and...
And again, we've allowed it, you know. People say, oh, yeah, he had to do that, and they move on, and they forget about it or whatever, and just accept it. Instead of, like we've been talking, hold them accountable. Hold their feet to the fire and don't let up, you know?
And the fact of the matter is, if they don't serve the public the way they said they were going to serve the public, I would start looking tomorrow for a replacement.
Yeah.
That's
because
true, too.
You know, it's start campaigning tomorrow. I'll be more than happy to give you whatever information you need to get started.
Well, that's kind of what we need, because we don't know how to go out and find these candidates as part of our problem. I mean, you know, you'd think that there would be a bunch of candidates jumping into the mix, but it's hard to find a candidate out there that you can back.
Well, not only that, but we didn't realize, like you talked at the beginning of the show, you got to start years before preparation. Like you say, we fall asleep for, you know, 10 months out of the year until it's election time, and then, you know, we were just jumping on the wagon and saying, okay, my vote will count and I'll get the person I want and he'll do what I want, and then they get in there and they don't, and you go, oh crap, now what?
Well, you start out by just, you know, with community leaders, you know, people that are in charge of organizations that people belong to, people that have a higher profile than most people, or just good people. See, the point is you can start today with an absolutely unknown individual, and if people get out and work for them, they could be elected, you know, to Congress in 2 years.
Or even the presidency in four, you know, depending on if they're from Chicago or not.
Absolutely, as long as you don't look at their college transcripts, that might be a problem.
Yeah.
I don't think Obama ever got his his JD. I don't think he's actually graduated from law school.
I don't think he's eligible.
I don't think he ever attended.
I don't even think he's eligible based on the natural born citizen clause of the Constitution. His father was a Kenyan national. You're not
I don't want to get.
Well, all I'm saying is,
I understand. It's inside, but that's the kind of wedge issue that creates problems.
Right.
Because, I mean, all it does is gets people saying, well, these are a bunch of whack jobs over here because this is what
they want.
You got to just blow it off.
Well, I understand, but they won't investigate that stuff. Anybody, you'd think the media would be all over that because that's what it says. It's not a matter whether he's born in Hawaii or not. It's a matter of both parents were supposed to be citizens for the president to be eligible, according to everything I've read. So,
well, actually, I've looked at the 14th Amendment. And what's really interesting is what it says. First of all, it's because they say all these people that are born here are citizens.
Sure.
And at one time, almost 20 years ago, Harry Reid was against people being born here and being allowed to be citizens. But he's flip-flopped on that.
Well,
he was for it before he was against it before he was for it. Point I'm trying to make is, according to the amendment, the catchphrase in there is that controlled by the United States government. Now, a foreign national is not controlled by our government because all their embassy has to do is say, we want the person back, and they get the person back. Because they're a foreign national, they're controlled by their own government, but we haven't spent a lot of time pursuing that, and I think that's one of the places we need to pursue it.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's not the time or place at this point because it's kind of a moot point because de facto he's pulled it off regardless of whether he's been vetted or eligible.
Yeah. So, I think the most telling thing is the fact that even Chicago doesn't want his library.
Well, I mean, this guy, you can't find anybody any more anti-American than this guy. I mean, just look, you know, you know, it's like, I listened to O'Reilly a week or so ago, and he goes, yeah, you know, there's no evidence he's a Muslim. I mean, show me some evidence that he's not a Muslim.
Yeah, exactly. You know, show me he's a Christian.
Yeah, where's the evidence that he's actually a Christian? He went to church at Jeremiah Wright's place or what?
Am I going to have to use a pivot statement to get us back on point?
You might. Okay, let's okay, we'll let that one go. let's go back to words that win, that what progressive Democrats don't want to hear.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It took a lot of research to drag out the words, but what's really interesting in conversation is that if you control the language, you basically control what people think. And so what I did is a bit of research on what progressive Democrats say and what conservatives need to say. For example, you know, progressives like to talk about new American immigrants or new Americans or immigrants, and what they're really talking about is illegal aliens. So what we have to do.
We're losing you, Steve.
So we don't give them the language and allow them to control the conversation.
Well, how does that control what you think, though? If you say new American immigrants, it's because you think that, you know, that doesn't constitute illegal aliens, even though de facto that's what they are?
Well, you got to go back to those low information voters. They're the ones that tend to tip things.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, they don't know the difference between, as my dad used to say, crap and shinola.
That might be true, but they're not involved. They're, you know, and I wouldn't beat them up too bad. These could be soccer moms that are more interested in keeping their kids in school and making sure they're not getting into trouble and all sorts of things. I mean, again,
makes them feel good.
Absolutely, you know, and so they're not on top of this like we are.
Well, I agree with you, Steve. You know, the real deal is that how do you get any good information anymore anyway, unless you're really into studying and doing your own research? Because, man, you listen to the TV and all you're getting is sunshine and lollipops and smoke blowing up your behind.
Right. And so I guess what the whole point of modern messaging is about is you have to take deep thoughts and extensive information and make it bumper sticker slogans so people remember it.
Yeah, it's kind of like grumpy old men need love, too.
So you go back to the emotion piece and not the logic piece, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can have logic fights forever, and conservatives are good at it because we have opinions. But the way I explain conservatism to people is, you know, if you tell me you're conservative, I know 60% of what you think. If you tell me you're a social conservative, I know 80% of what you think. If you tell me you're liberal, I have no idea what you think.
Isn't that the truth?
I think really what you're saying is you're not sure that you
think.
Okay, that's pretty harsh, but I guess you could say that. Getting back to words that win, what we have to do is start taking the initiative. When somebody tosses out a word like, you know, the immigrants that are coming across the border, you have to respond. You mean the illegal aliens. You have to respond to their word usage with the actual word. You know, if they're talking about a commitment to the community, you're talking about paying taxes. You know, if they talk about freedom, you have to talk about the rule of law. You know, but that if it conflicts with the rule of law, because our country was founded on the rule of law, not on freedom. That's a whole different deal. I mean, we're free, but we're free because we have the rule of law.
Right. Yeah. You know, these guys have all these buzzwords that, you know, are just code for, you know, redistribution. No, that means tax the rich. You know, I mean.
No, it doesn't even mean tax rich. It means, you know, tax.
Right.
You know, in fact, this is my philosophy on tax the rich. The rich in the United States are paying about a third of the taxes out there. And most of their money is going to pay for the people that are getting entitlements.
Right.
So if you want to grow government, you have to grow taxes on the middle class because
sure.
They're the ones in the middle that are basically paying the freight. They're the ones with jobs. They're the ones that are, you know, starting businesses, things like that. So that's one of the reasons that the middle class is the focus of what the left is talking about right now is you got to warm them up, you know.
Well, and it's a deception because the super, because you got to discriminate between, you know, low income, middle class, well off, and super rich, because the super rich get a pass. You know, you look at the guys on Wall Street and, you know, they're offshore, they're globalist guys that are, you know, the super rich, the 1%, they're not paying very much. Then you have the guys that are well off, but I think you're absolutely right. When they say redistribution of the wealth, well, that means is we tax the people that have it no matter what and give it to the people that don't. And in the meantime, we control both sides of the equation.
Right. And what's interesting about the middle class is the middle class isn't so much an amount. Now, the left tries to put an amount on it. If you're between, pick $30,000 and $100,000, you're middle class. But the fact of the matter is the middle class are the people that dream the American dream, that want a house, want a family, want children, want a quality education, want good jobs. That's middle class. And you could be making $10,000 a year and want to be middle class, and you will get there. You could be making $100 million a year and think middle class, you're still there. So it's a really broad definition. But the fact of the matter is, middle class encourages everybody to join it. And if you do well, we're patting you on the back and saying, good for you.
That was the old system. Yeah. Not anymore.
Well, no, we have to go back to that system. If we deny that system, we lose.
Right, because that is the system, absolutely. But that's what's been happening is, you know, they're targeting the middle class while they're saying they're helping the middle class.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly true. They're going to target you right up until they put their hand in your pocket.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like gun control. You know, like Mao Zedong, he didn't want gun control. He just didn't want you to have any. He wanted to control them all.
That's right.
So, yeah.
I guess we have to go to a break. Again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Using junk science that wouldn't even meet the standards of a high school science fair, California Air Resources Board and the Environmental Protection Agency have written regulations that are devastating the California economy. They are costing people their jobs, their homes, their livelihoods, and their families. This must be stopped. Help us continue the fight against CARB. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com now and contribute to keep the fight going.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSync. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days. And it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it. And you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy. Making your life easier.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you. Take me.
direct from Broadway, Sister Act, the hilarious 5-time Tony-nominated musical smash, is coming to Reading. And we're going to be there, right, Molly?
Yes, Linda, we will be there, as well as the preset VIP dinner. You can come, too, by going to ReadingCivic.com for all your tickets to the show and the meet-and-greet VIP dinner. That's March 25th, ReadingCivic.com.
How fun!
Your home. You served your country with honor. Now it's time to strike out on a new path forward. You're a veteran. You set the standard for character, integrity, leadership. And you've gained valuable skills. Skills employers are looking for. At jobcenter.usa.gov, you can get access to personalized services and the support you need to find the perfect career. This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams saying, visit an American job center today and discover your next opportunity of a lifetime.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Saturday, March 21st at Wind River Casino. Join Sovereign Minds and Jefferson State of Mind radio programs for the third annual banquet and fundraiser. A night of fun and guns, friends, and family. Come and have dinner. Auction includes a John Deere Gator ATV, gun raffles, and many other prizes. Call 221-0101 to get your tickets. Seating is limited. 221-0101.
Don't label us left or right.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Radio for the North State. A little bit of crazy Aussie there. Before we get back to our guest, I got a headline here. I got to say, California handgun sales skyrocket, gun related homicides plummet. I guess that's logical stuff.
Yeah, so that doesn't get the newspaper because it's logical.
handgun sales in California broke a 21-year-old record in 2014, and at the same time, firearm-related murders fell to their lowest rate in 20 years. Moreover, accidental gun deaths decreased as well. So according to the Sacramento Bee, a record-breaking 510,000 handguns were sold in the state of California in 2014, easily breaking the previous record of 433,000 handguns sold in 1993. The rise in handgun sales reflects a national surge that was a result of the calls for more gun control in response to mass shootings.
And don't forget, we still have the gun show on today, so you can run down to the Holiday Inn and get your ammo and guns.
Get a gun.
Yeah.
While
you still can do that.
I'm just saying that's very logical, Captain.
Yeah.
So with that, let's get back to our guest, Steve. And we got about 10 minutes here. And maybe you can talk about, get anything on here that you want to, you know, make sure we get out into the public awareness and wrap it up.
Okay. Well, one thing we really didn't spend a lot of time on is basically what's called a personal narrative.
Okay.
Everybody's been to a presentation where a candidate got up in front of the audience, started rambling on about their resume, and everybody's eyes started rolling back in their head, and they started thinking about other things other than what they were talking about. Personal narrative is important because each of us has a story to tell. And what it does is it allows you to connect with people, again, on that emotional level, And it allows you to identify people that, you know, might be compatriots and initially might help you ask them to join your cause if you're actually putting a cause together. And what we found out through research, and a lot of research, of course, was done by the left, is if you look at the news, people are skeptical when they hear the news because they're not sure that it's accurate or truthful. But when you tell somebody a story, as we've learned from Hollywood, people set aside skepticism and just accept the story. And so that's why you get a lot of storytelling. You know, for example, when Obama's making speeches, he's telling stories about what's going on. He has people up on the dais, you know, and he tells their stories because he's trying to get you to accept whatever policy he's got out in front of the public. Well, that's something each one of us can do. We can tell our personal story to get people involved in what we need them to get involved in.
Well, I thought that, you know, for a while there that I did believe in Hansel and Gretel when I was listening to my local politician, but it turns out he lied.
Yeah, if they start out with once upon a time, it's the wrong story.
Follow the crumbs.
Yeah,
it'll be okay.
Boy, how true is that? I mean, I think you're spot on there, Steve, because you know, that's what our guys did. The guy that won, I mean, I can't even understand why he won, but this is how he won. You're right. He just talked about the family and how we want such a safe environment.
The children.
You know, then the guy is like Mr. Hyde when he gets elected. He turned on is like, holy moly, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to have public comment. We're getting rid of that and get to the end, you know, and you're like, wow, what happened? You know, what happened to Mr. Safety?
It sounds like you really have a problem with this guy.
Oh,
just a little bit.
Yeah. So I guess the point I'm making is, you know, we'll make arrangements and I'll get up there and we'll talk about this. We'll get in front of some groups. I've got templates people can use to start putting down their own story. But the idea is that what it does is it teaches people to relate to people in a way that people like to be related to. So that's the real plus to personal narrative.
Well, I've worked on being ostracized from most of these groups for years, Steve. I mean,
sound like you're doing a wonderful job.
I know. I'm gonna have to turn over a new leaf here and actually be nice. I'm not sure. This could be like a Pavlov dog thing where you have to smack me or something and give me something to eat when I do something right.
Yeah, well, start with cookies.
Okay.
Follow the crumbs.
Yeah, that's it. But I guess. The fact that conservatives are so well-informed also works against us because we want to immediately go to the punchline instead of actually telling the story. And we have a habit of telling people they're wrong or giving them, body language that says you're full of it instead of listening to what they have to say. And, you know, out of habit, people generally wait not – listen, you know, they're not listening to what we're saying. They're waiting to jump in and give you their two cents worth. So if we can turn that around and start making things happen for us in a positive way, I think it'll take off.
Well, I think I've just discovered why I haven't been employed for about 30 years.
I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally unemployable. I mean, I've been so self-employed for so long. I can't help but say how I feel, because in my world that's a good thing. You know, I deal with the IRS, and actually telling the truth and laying it out logical arguments is exactly the opposite of what you're telling us that we need to do in politics. Is basically spread some sunshine and lollipop a little bit and get people to like you, and then try to pivot the story into something that they can kind of accept and understand that will help their family.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because we tend to be too straightforward, you know, because we've always been honest and straightforward. And the problem is that really blows past a lot of people. They're not used to that. You know, you have to look at it from their perspective. Most people are not leaders. Most people are followers, and they're just looking for the right person or, you know, movement to follow. They'll be attracted to what doesn't scare them.
Well, and we've got to overcome some of the training we had as children. I mean,
we were taught to, tell the truth and be moral. And
I can remember getting a couple of pretty good whippings for not being straight and telling the truth, you know.
A few.
Well, shut
well,
up.
More than a few.
It's not about not telling the truth. It's about framing the truth in terms that they understand.
Well, right? I kind of meant, you know, straight
them feel
talk.
Comfortable. That's all. That's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I get it. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I was raised that, you know, you didn't mince words. You were straight up. You told the truth, whether you liked it or not. You know, and
you took your whipping.
Shut up. And so,
just saying.
You got to tell us, my sister, huh? You know, yeah. Well, I'm over there getting, you know, straight up telling the truth, and on the hot seat, she's over sitting in dad's lap going, you know, I'm his little girl and batting her eyes.
Yeah.
So there's
yeah.
a story there, too. So,
well, back to logical and unlogical.
Well, then let me talk, because if we're talking logic and
yeah, right.
Well, if we're talking illogical, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Logic versus emotion, you know.
Yeah.
Prime example, people don't get emotional about how bad the roads are until they break a tire.
Well,
then it
yeah.
becomes an emotional issue. Logically, up until that point, every time you drove down that bumpy road, you go, we got to get this road fixed. But once it costs you $200 for a tire, then you're emotionally involved.
Well, it's kind of
like, what we've got to do is tap into those emotions and get right. them involved before they blow a tire.
Well, it sounds like it's kind of like sales. You know, you've got pain and you've got pleasure. And, you know, you want to avoid the pain and feel the pleasure, and you don't get off the dime a lot of times until you feel a little pain, I guess.
It's exactly sales. I mean, that's PR propaganda. It's all sales. And we have to sell our message in a way that people are willing to understand it and buy it.
You know, we're kind of like selling them their own freedom in a way. And I think that's where, you know, what you have to think about while you're doing this stuff is that, you know, you're selling people back their own freedom, and you have to convince them of that in such a way that's palatable.
Right. And I think the problem is there's also some hot button words, and unfortunately freedom has gotten to be one of those. But if we talk to them about giving them their power back, that people want to take their power from them, that they, you know, if they get involved in civics locally, if they get involved, you know, if they go to a few city council meetings and they get involved with what's going on, they talk to these people that are making policies as far as the bureaucrats and get to know who they are and what they like and what they don't like, they're regaining their power.
Well, we
want to thank
their
you,
power
Steve.
Back, then they control what goes on in their community.
We want to thank you. They're going to cut us off. We'll be talking and arranging for you to get up here.
My pleasure.
Thanks
and if
again.
If you would give everybody my email address, I'd appreciate it.
Very I will good. Do that.
Government
Thank
is
you.
Not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And we'll have to make it a point next week to make sure we get Steve's email, because I think we're out of time.
Yes,
we
are. Time. And this is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
That was Steve Kirschbaum.
Critics say with a private account, who's to know? President Obama says if no good deal can be reached on Iran's nuclear program, the U.S. would be willing to walk away from the negotiations. He tells CBS TV's Face the Nation any agreement must allow Western powers to verify that Tehran isn't going to obtain atomic weapons. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not satisfied.
I do not trust inspectors.